Welcome back to Occult Symbolism of Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. I had to think about that for a second. Well, today is, it's your show. We're going to revisit Leave the World Behind on Netflix. This is part two. By next week, the news cycle will have long forgot about this movie, and we'll be talking about something else. I put the poll up on Instagram, and this was your decision. I wanted to give you a really great... I've got two big shows lined up here. I've got one, proving that Roseanne Barr sold her soul to the devil. Two, Miley Cyrus joining a sex cult. But you voted on Instagram. And I put polls in random places at random times, okay? So you just gotta like and subscribe everywhere, because you never know. And the clear choice was a revisit of Leave the World Behind 2. Because, look, there's a lot going on with this movie. You know it. If you're on the bonus supporter feeds, you already know. Because you listened to the full 90-minute show we did, breaking down every little aspect of this movie. And I watched it on Sunday, made my notes, recorded it, did all the editing crap I have to do, you know, Monday, and then got it out there Tuesday or something like that. And who would have thought this thing was going to blow up the way it blew up? Not my... analysis necessarily, but this movie, everyone's talking about this movie now, and I thought, geez, I don't know what's going on, but I do know everyone's talking about this movie. So as it turns out, your boy missed some things, and this is the beauty of the democracy, right? This is the sort of Wikipedia effect. Many hands make for light work. So a lot of folks out there found a lot of really great finds. And, you know, it's like, I don't want to make this movie my entire life of being. I'm not trying to write a book about it. Like, it wasn't that good. But, man, if you want to dig deeper, dig deeper. And you did. I'm going to tell you what you found. This is your show. I'm going to tell you what you found. I didn't find this. You found it. Congratulations. I am now your red pill daddy, and you have done well. Your red pill sensei. Ironically, I'm wearing my Eddie Bravo 10th Planet red pill shirt. I do not do jujitsu. Not with this hair. Are you kidding me? But I wear it. Nonetheless, I wear it. Eddie sent it to me. I did his show. I don't know if you knew this. It was his top. He has a show on Rockfin. And I am honored. It was like in the top five, I think, of the most listened to shows on the whole platform. I beat out Alex Jones's first appearance on there beat me, but the second appearance, you know, I should look this up. Keep talking trash. It doesn't matter. Who cares? Anyway, but I need to get back on there. I did Eddie Bravo's show, I don't know, a year ago, and I need to get back on there because we're going to talk about Charles Manson. That was the plan. If life could slow down and I could just focus and get it going, because there's a lot with Manson. Anyway, Leave the World Behind 2. Everyone's talking about the movie. I'm going to tell you what I missed, what you found. Let's go. First, let's talk about some things that I had found after I posted. These first couple are ones that... And look, I'm not going to be able to shout out every single person who sent me everything. I wrote down the names of the first person who sent me the things. Somebody's going to get... You came in second or third, so sorry. But some things that happened since then that... not necessarily symbolism that was sent to me, but... predictive programming, right? A lot of people were saying that's what this movie is about. It's about predictive programming and showing us what's going to happen, which is terrifying. Well, turns out, I think it was the day I released my show, I retweeted a news article about how Chinese hackers were getting into the American infrastructure. I'm going to read you from News Nation. They were the ones that broke the David Grush alien whistleblower story, so of course you could trust them. It says, Chinese hackers target U.S. infrastructure, a report. A report that state-sponsored Chinese hackers may have breached U.S. systems. Experts say the long game to distract and infect American commerce and infrastructure. A new report claims China has been initiating more cyber attacks and has a greater plan to cripple the U.S. through hacking. The report from the Washington Post reveals alleged state-sponsored Chinese hackers may have breached more than 24 systems over the past year alone. Experts believe this could be part of the country's long aim to distract, or worse, infect American commerce and infrastructure if a conflict erupts over Taiwan. The hackers are allegedly targeting critical infrastructure such as water utility in Hawaii. Sorry, Jan, you're not exempt from this American attack, it turns out. There's a listener out there. A port on the West Coast and some oil and gas pipelines. Chinese hackers have even been accused of trying to bust into the Texas power grid over the past summer. American cybersecurity officials believe some of this activity is part of a state-sponsored Chinese operation called Volt Typhoon. So, as we expected, this movie is based upon some real things, okay? Real threats. Also, I saw yesterday a trailer for Alex Garland's new movie coming out in 24, in April of 2024, called Civil War. We talked about that. If you were on the Patreon team, like so many of you that signed up. And by the way, I don't publicize this because I don't promise it. My word is bond. I have this new app. When people sign up for Patreon or the VIP section, I get notification, and I send a quick little 30 to 60 second video, just saying hello, what's up, shout out. Here's what I've been working on. I don't know, whatever. I'm buying groceries. I'm dodging the mint brownie, whatever. And a bunch of you signed up. And I owe you a video. If you did sign up in the last few, because I started this maybe 2 weeks ago. And if you signed up, check your inbox. I probably sent you a video. You haven't watched it yet. I'm going to try this for the whole month of December and see if it's something that I can accommodate as part of my schedule. We'll see. But for the month of December, you're going to get the little video shout out. So added perk. For December, sign up on the Patreon. You'll get the whole show where you heard about how I've been talking about the Civil War and the race war they've been trying to stoke for years and years and years. I've been blogging about it. It's probably why I got sued. Probably why they tried to shut down my blog. I be speaking the truth. And you know why? You know how to counter that? With love. Just like Twin Peaks is telling us. With love. Not hate. Not division. Not fear-mongering. Love. We can defeat evil and darkness with love. Not boner juice and anger pills. And anyway, okay, Alex Garland, Civil War movie coming out. And it looks terrifying. It shows us what America looks like for the Civil War they want to make happen. And unfortunately, it looks like Kristen Dunst is going to save us, which is a bummer. Because her energy does not give me confidence. She's given low T energy all the time, always. She ain't saving us. Don't save her. She don't want to be saved. I don't know. Anyway, just another movie showing us the predictive programming, all right? Bill Maher years ago said it on his show. I have the clip somewhere. He says, you want to know what's going to happen in 10, 20 years? Watch movies. He knows. All right. We talked about on the big show, on the 90-minute full episode, we talked about the color blue in the room. And I mentioned how it could be tied into Maui, right? Remember that? And of course, Obama's from Hawaii. But do you remember all those blue conspiracies we talked about with Maui? Specifically in part two of the Maui wildfire conspiracy. There was a theory about how they were only targeting certain houses and how the color blue, if you painted your roof blue, you didn't get hit with the laser beam, was the theory. And one of the supporting evidences for that was a video going around that there was these blue umbrellas completely unfazed amidst turmoil. And one theory that they have is that these lasers were programmed to attack anything outside of the color blue. And a lot of truthers really laid in heavy on this. A lot of truthers reposted a fake news article that didn't exist about how all these celebrities in Maui were painting their houses with this color, this particular shade of blue. You know, Obama, Clinton, Tom Hanks, Ellen DeGeneres, Chrissy Teigen, Kid Rock, and Oprah. You know, all the sweethearts of the conspiracy world. Of course, it, you know, wasn't true. There's that damn Obama again, right? Just keeps popping up in this. And Oprah's skinny now. Kid Rock's drinking Bud Light again. Oh, my God. What? How will we go on? How will it ever happen? And, of course, one of the theories is that blue has the frequency of 6.66 hertz, which is obviously the number of the mark of the beast. Just another little elaboration upon that theory about why the room is blue, and it was sort of, I don't know, a safe zone? I don't know. Julia Roberts on Patreon, Puffy Nipples Appreciation Society, said that Julia Roberts had actually dated Matthew Perry, and Julia Roberts' birthday, October 28th, was the day that Matthew Perry died, which obviously you can piece that together because the movie has all these Friends themes within it. What does that mean? I don't know. It's just weird. And then before we get into your theories, I got one more here. This is a big one, though. Obama was asked advice about this movie from the director, and it scared the director. I'm going to read you from Fox News. A Hollywood director claimed former President Barack Obama scared the F out of me when the former world leader sent him tips on directing an upcoming disaster movie. This is an old article, okay? Director Sam Esmail, who has helmed TV shows like Mr. Robot and Homecoming, recalled how Obama sent him script notes for the upcoming Netflix film Leave the World Behind. According to Ismail, the former president was able to ground the director over his early version of the film's script. Citing his experience with real-world events, Obama claimed that some elements in Ismail's script were off by a few details. The filmmaker recalled he had a lot of notes. With the film being produced by his company as an adaptation of a novel that was on his 2021 summer reading list, Obama felt the need to recommend edits so that the movie could be as real as possible. In an interview with Vanity Fair, Esmail described Obama's involvement. In the original drafts of the script, I definitely pushed things a lot further than they were in the film. And President Obama, having the experience he does, was able to ground me a little bit on how things might unfold in reality. I am writing what I think is fiction, for the most part. I'm trying to keep it as true to life as possible, but I'm exaggerating and dramatizing. And to hear an ex-president say, you're off by a few details, I thought I was off by a lot. The fact that he said that scared the F out of me. According to the director's account, Obama drew from his own observations about human nature in his tips. Esmail told that Obama, quote, had a lot of notes about the characters and the empathy we would have for them. He added the former president is a big movie lover and used his knowledge of the book to add more to the movie. Esmail said that Obama wasn't just giving notes about things that were from his background. He was giving notes as a fan of the book and wanted to see a really good film. Which, by the way, that reminds me, I'm enjoying seeing the lively commentary about whether or not this was a good film. Some of you loved it. Some of you hated it. I'm going to guess it's the barrel-chested freedom fighters that hate it, because they say, no, Illuminati, you're not going to make us do this. You're not going to predictively program the future. And, I agree with that. You shouldn't be able to do that. Doesn't mean it's not a good movie, though. I thought it was good. It's suspenseful. Come on. Is it an hour too long? Absolutely. I'll give you that. Does it have weird things that I don't love? Like how it started out, I actually thought we were getting ready to have a Jordan Peele kind of movie, like the movie Us, when, what's his name? The owners of the home, he shows up on the front door and he's like, hey, I own this home. It was real suspenseful, like, oh, damn, does he really, or does he not, or is he going to kill him, or what's going on? And then it just seemed to just go by the wayside. I was like, well, why acting suspicious, you know? All right, Rami sorry if I'm saying your name wrong. Rami on Patreon talked about Ohio. Listen to this. I'm going to read the comment. One of the conspiracies of 9/11 was how Flight 93 landed at an airport hangar in Cleveland, Ohio. There was actually an article that got released 15 minutes after Flight 93 got hijacked saying how Flight 93 made an emergency landing at an airport in Cleveland, Ohio. That scene where Mahershala Ali is trying to alleviate his daughter's fears about her mom and the plane she was in. He said her plane probably did an emergency landing at an airport in Ohio. And I actually hadn't heard of this. I'm no expert on 9/11. But apparently it's in loose change. Apparently there's speculation that Flight 93 landed in Ohio and they subbed out the plane. And that plane that subbed it out is the one that crashed in PA. And they use a preliminary news report that did show that Flight 93 landed at a Cleveland airport. It says on Wikipedia that it was later learned that Delta Flight 1989 was the plane confused with Flight 93. And the report was retracted as inaccurate. And then a bunch of the 9/11 truthers dispute it, citing the wreckage of the scene, eyewitness testimony, and so on. So, I mean, the jury's out, I guess. I don't know. Maybe there's... I haven't seen Loose Change in forever. I mean, that was back in my Michael Moore Fahrenheit 9/11 red pill days. But there's that. And then also, you know, Ohio is where allegedly they took the crash remains from the Roswell crash. All right. Okay. Symbolism. Okay. This is a good one. Tisha sent me an email. Sorry. You're guaranteed 100% I will butcher your name. I'll just give 10 variations of it, and one of them is going to be right. So Tisha or Tisha sent me an email. Said, did you catch the coffee cup and the two clocks? Say 666. And Shane also told me this on Patreon. I didn't see that. That's a great catch. I even looked at the, remember I talked about the mug, the 76ers mug. And I had a whole different kind of the Shining theory on that. And sure enough, yeah, there's three sixes in there. So, you know, illuminate, confirm, stamp of approval. Also, the images in the opening credits had, Tisha said they had upside down flags, Statue of Liberty upside down, submarines, everything inverted. And yes, that's a great thought because it is about inversion. It's the Gnostic view of reality and flipping reality on its head to create a new world. And if you watch, I rewatched it. There was a bull. And it's weird because every element you see in those credits is something that you see in the movie. And there was a bull. And you don't really see a bull that I remember. But of course, the bull is the bull god of Moloch, which... ties us into the ball, B-A-A-L, that you see on the movie poster. We're going to cover that here soon. But it's about the sacrifice, about the blood sacrifice to the gods. And there's also a bird in the credits that transforms into a cross, an inverted cross, kind of. Tisha also says that the pictures on the wall keep changing, and I saw a TikTok on this, yes. The artwork changes in the bedroom as well as the dining room. In the bedroom, it starts out with a giant art behind the bed, and it's still waters. And then as the movie progresses, it gets more chaotic. I didn't catch that at all. Also, Tisha wanted to clarify, when Julia Roberts says the password, it sounds like Julia Roberts says it's a novella, right? And I think Tisha was saying, no, I don't think, I don't, I think Tisha was saying that maybe it's not literally a novella. It's saying that the password's really long, right? Like a novel, like a novel would be, right? Like a joke, which is a fair assessment. If you turn on the captions though, when you watch the film, it says the password is novella. So it is confusing because it does sound like she says a novella, but on the captions it says novella. So I don't know. Because I was saying that it's attached to Dream Novella, which is Eyes Wide Shut, right? Remember that? Nicole sent me a message about the QR code. Sure enough, if you on the one map, the CNN, there's a screenshot where CNN is talking about cyber attacks across the country. Apparently, if you freeze frame that image, there's a QR code on the Kentucky map. And I dug around a little bit. It takes you to visit MercerCounty.com, and it takes you to a it says Lake Shawnee. Let me check it again. It's the Lake Shawnee Abandoned Amusement Park, which actually looks kind of cool. But it's Raven from the Raven's Watch podcast on Twitter said that this is an abandoned amusement park built on ancient burial site for Native Americans. And if you go to the website it takes you to, it says Lake Shawnee's restless past originates in the 18th century. During the 1700s, Mitchell Clay brought his young family out west. They established an 800-acre farm, raised 14 children. Oy, oy. Tragedy struck the Clays in 1783. A Native American tribe slew two of the children while Mitchell was out hunting. They kidnapped one of the boys, Ezekiel, only to burn him at the stake. Clay retaliated with the help of other settlers. He tracked down several Native Americans and killed them. So, there's that. And it does, in fact, confirm. It says, it turned out the amusement park sat atop an ancient burial ground, and most of the skeletons belonged to children. Archaeologists believe the remains had been there long before settlers moved west. So, that's upsetting, right? Okay. Why would they throw that in there? Is it about child sacrifice? Yes, if you listen to the full 90-minute thing, I confirm to you that the deer, because they say in the movie, they say the deer comes from the Mesoamerican symbolism. And I looked that up, and remember, we talked about it. It was actually a blood sacrifice to the gods, was that symbolism. Okay, Mary on Patreon talked about the symbolism of thorns, because you remember at the very end of the movie, they go to the thorns house, which has the underground bunker. Mary said, about the Thorns house at the end, there's a sci-fi novel called Thorns from the 60s with an interesting plot. In Thorns, the line, quote, pain is instructive, opens and closes the story where the characters come to see the pain it causes as a means of growth. As the novel ends, they will confront the aliens and presumably undergo alterations that take them beyond humanity. That actually sounds fascinating. I'm intrigued to read that. Mary also said there's a Celtic belief that deer can take people into a world of magic, which is interesting. And isn't that what Harry Potter's little, familiar, a spirit? His spirit animal is a deer. Sarita said Thorn is also the name in the Omen movies. Damien Thorn was the Antichrist. And her name was Rose, a rose among thorns. Because the girl in the movie is named Rose. And she has a tattoo of 96. That's a real tattoo. I'm assuming it's the year she was born. Maybe it's, 96, 69. Maybe she's going to be like Tekashi 69 and get 96 tattoos on her. I don't know. Ball. Okay, you've already seen this, I'm sure. I saw this on the Tinfoil Hat socials. Title art. You can see direct line B-A-A-L. I put it on my Instagram little teaser promo video if you saw that. Which, of course, Baal is Moloch, which ties into the human sacrifice theory again. I mean, I can't help but think this is all about human sacrifice for the New World Order. Not to sound crazy, but, I mean, kind of. Puffy Nipples Appreciation Society on Patreon suggested that the boat, the White Lion boat that crashes on the beach, the oil tanker, could have crashed because of sirens, right? Because Starbucks is the next scene. After the boat crashes, they go to Starbucks. And the Starbucks logo is that of a siren. Decent point. I like that. Cheryl, my all-time top supporter ever, talked about the Obey shirt. And the boy wears, what's his name, Archie, wears a shirt of Obey, which is Andre the Giant, right? And you can see it kind of makes a five-pointed star, like a pentagram, which is the symbol of magic. The Obey brand was supposed to be this activist thing. It's a slogan that comes from John Carpenter's They Live. We did an entire film analysis of John Carpenter's They Live on here, I believe. Maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, didn't we? Now I want to know. And you know how I'm going to find out? I'm going to go to IlluminatiWatcher.com. And on the right-hand side in the margin, I've got a big old graphic index of every episode. I go there, I do Control F, and I'm going to type in They Live. And sure enough, there it is. They Live film analysis, liberal plots, aliens, homeless village people obey and consume. And I published it December 1st, 2020, if you just want to scroll back on your feed. That was a great film analysis from what I remember. Anyway, that's where it came from. Listen to that full show for details. I also found that the same artist, is it Frank Ferry? He, and Cheryl said he designed the Obama Hope poster, right? And he also created the artwork for the David Lynch Foundation for Consciousness, the TM thing, right? I think that's a TM organization. All right, last but not least, and this one's a big one. This is a big omission in my part. Joey Badass, he does the song, The Revenge, that you hear in the opening credits. I'm not a Joey Badass fan. I don't really get it. And I love hip-hop, but it's just not my steez. I don't know. I don't think he sucks or anything. It's just not my jam. I don't really get into him, so I didn't really pay much mind. In fact, I thought it was just a generic rapper, to be honest. No shade. I didn't realize that was an actual song. I saw it on Donut. Donut was doing some promos on his feeds, and I saw him talking about Joey Badass because there's a lyric about the Illuminati. So I looked into Joey Badass, and you're not going to believe what I found. So the first track we'll look at is a song he has. It's called The Light, right? Luciferian Light, of course. The Enlightened One. All those things. But let's look at the lyrics. It says, I admit it, I was gone for a little minute. And like I lost my glow, my inner light was dimming. Now I got my mojo back. I'm adjacent to that N-word, Satan. That ain't for debating. It's pretty definitive, right? No more time for wasting. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The shining represents the light that's in the darkness. Well, that's an interesting, the shining, right? We were talking about how the shining symbolism was in Leave the World Behind. Unrelated completely, but... And here's the thing with that track. If you watch the video, and I actually don't recommend you watch the video because I myself didn't want to watch the whole thing. And you know me, I'm not too queasy about this kind of stuff, but I wouldn't recommend it. I actually kind of skipped through it because I didn't want to watch it. Because what it is, it's a video with a real Haitian voodoo ceremony. You're watching an actual real ritual that he was taking part of. And, you know, voodoo, it's got animal sacrifices, it's got spirits taking over one's body. And he said he was searching for a rebirth, because prior to this, he had alluded to the idea of being Christian. I'm going to read you from Fader Magazine, or whatever their website is, Fader. It says, directed by Pierre Moss, founder Kirby Jean Raymond and Levi Turner, the visual finds Joey, that's the rapper, Joey Badass, at the center of a traditional voodoo ritual, as described in the video's opening slate. From there, he walks through the streets of New York, empowered and guided by altars and practitioners scattered along the way. Okay? If you still had doubts, let's look to Le Union Suite. According to High Snobiety, John Raymond largely inspired the rapper to learn more about Haitian religious rituals, which ultimately led him to participate in the ceremony. The scenes from the video include real-life footage of Joey at the ceremony. And I took some images. Of course, you know where to go to find those. At Isaac Weishaupt on Instagram. If you freeze frame that video, I said I didn't watch the whole thing, and I did not. I actually kind of skipped through, and I still saw this. You can see on the ground there's a symbol for squaring the circle. It's the triangle with the square and a circle inside of it. That's an alchemical symbol. It's the symbol for the philosopher's stone, looking for immortality. And you're probably thinking, well, Isaac, cool story, bro. That was years ago, dude. I know. But let's talk about the video for the track you hear in opening credits, because that's where we go illuminate confirm. And again, I'm going to put a lot of images that are disturbing on the Instagram for this. Let's first talk about the lyrics, okay? It starts out with this Lord forgive them dialogue, which sounds like Diddy to me. It sounds like Diddy. And I thought it was from the Hate Me Now track. And I re-listened to it and I didn't catch it, but I was also distracted. But anyway, it sounds like Diddy with the Lord forgive them prayer thing. And if it is from Hate Me Now, that was the video that was very sacrilegious because Diddy and Nas were on the crosses, if you recall. We talked about that on the Diddy episode last month with the bonus episode. Let's look at the lyrics for The Revenge, the song that is on the opening credits for Leave the World Behind. He's really out for blood this time. He's back for the win with a lot of new money in his hand. He catches a body. That means he murdered somebody in street lingo. And jumps in his Porsche where he follows the coroner to the morgue so he can kill that person a bit more. These aren't the exact lyrics. I'm paraphrasing, okay? He says, quote, made it to the top. Ain't no way that they could stop me now. They gonna say I joined the Illuminati. I got demons all around me. Tell me what they know about me. All right, so it's clear we're talking about he's got a lot of new money. He murders folks. He is violent. He drives a Porsche, and he goes to the morgue so he can kill that person a little bit more. And they're gonna say I'm in the Illuminati. I got demons, but the guess is like he's not really in the Illuminati, but he says he's got demons all around him, right? And from that previous video song, we were talking about the voodoo thing. He tells you right there he's adjacent to Satan. Here's the catch, though. Here's the thing. And here's where I'm actually I'm a little more disturbed. I usually don't get too offended or disgusted by things. But this is where I'm a little disgusted that this is in the song, on the movie. I mean, in the video, you see he's got all these, you know, these bad chicks and whatever, right? He says he's around these demons in the Illuminati. Guess where the video's shot? It's inside of a church. How, like, that's sacrilegious, man. Like, and that's what I say. It's like, I don't care. Dude, you can worship the devil. I really don't care. But, like, that's, and you know me, I'm a very lukewarm Christian. But, like, that's disgusting to me. Like, that's sacrilegious. You know what I mean? Like, you can have your beef with opposing religions you don't believe in. Like, I'm okay with that. But, like, have some respect. You know, it's like, I don't agree with what the Freemasons do, but I'm not going to go to a Freemason lodge and piss on it or something. Like, that's, I don't know, man. I just find it disrespectful and very distasteful. If you watch the video, he's in a church. He's walking around with a gun and he shoots and murders somebody in the church while he's looking demonic. And then on top of that, if you look closely, as I will show you on the Instagram, he's wearing this new logo he's pushing now ever since he had his voodoo rebirth. It's the cross of Leviathan. It's the sigil for the Church of Satan. It's a symbol they use. And if you follow that back, it goes back to the Knights Templar who worship the Baphomet, you know, the goat with the bobs. And the Church of Satan uses it as the sigil of Baphomet to show fertility or whatever. And the Church of Satan claims that they use it to emphasize man as the center of truth and not God. And the alchemist used it to represent sulfur, which of course fits nicely into the theme of Satanism, since hell is composed of sulfur and brimstone, and supposedly when an evil spirit comes around, you can smell it. Brings us into the world of Twin Peaks a little bit there, right? I don't know if you follow Twin Peaks, but I know a thing or two because I've been studying it, and you'll find that when the dark spirits come around, everyone smells burnt oil. So, I mean, That's the time, you know, it's all fun and games to talk about this Illuminati stuff and seeing symbols here and there, but when I dug into this Joey Badass guy, who I wasn't a fan to begin with, and now I'm just like, bro, this guy's worshiping the devil, man. I just, you know, and if he's doing it as a gimmick, it's like, it's corny, dude. Or maybe he really is, you know. But anyways, he's in the opening credits of the song or of the movie. So there you go. That's my part two. There's a lot to unpack more. And look, this might not be exhaustive either. I know people are starting to really dig into this film. And I think it's a whole ordeal now, because a lot of people are waking up to the idea of symbolism, right? They're speaking to us through symbols. That's the whole goal of this thing. And the argument is that this could be predictive programming. It could be planting the ideas that this is where we're going to head, is to a civil war. And you know what happens then? It doesn't end good. It ends up with you get chaos and they want order. That's the Freemasonic phrase, order out of chaos, order ab chaos. It's on the dollar bill, I think, isn't it? No, that's the Novus Ordo Seclorum. That's New World Order. But order ab chaos, order out of chaos. They want us to get chaotic. They want us to hate each other and start a civil war so that they can come in with their big authority nonsense, right? Their fascist dictatorship, and say, well, you guys couldn't handle it, so here we are to enforce the rules. That's what they want. And like I said before, at the end of the first show we did on the part one, I talked about what was the exact thing I said? I bet I can find it real quick. Because it was a phrase used in the movie. And it, to me, it was spelling out exactly the warning that possibly Obama or whoever, the Illuminati, are trying to give. It says, the target nation will do the work for you if they're dysfunctional enough. And that's what I think this social media stuff is trying to do. They're trying to separate us. So, like, I try my best. Sometimes I take the bait. I try my best not to spread hate or get negative in the comments or say mean stuff. And, like, if we all just try to be nicer to each other, like, maybe we don't need to go down this path and give them what they want. They're laying a trap, and we're walking right into it with all this divisiveness and hate and, I don't know. It's pretty upsetting sometimes. I'm not trying to end this on a downer. I'm going to end it on a positive note, because I feel like we can do this. I feel like we can, through love and peace and understanding, we can, and I was just talking with a dude. Man, let me look it up, man. I posted a joke. Was it in poor taste? Maybe. I don't know. I posted a Kanye West was walking around in a KKK mask, and I made kind of a light joke. It's actually, it looks more like an executioner mask, to be fair. And I was kind of, Richter52. What's up, Richter52? We were kind of just going back and forth on some things that we didn't agree on, right? And I think maybe Richter thought I was being combative. And, to be fair, like, when I reread the comments, I thought, yeah, maybe I was being a little combative. I'll own that. But what I love about it is that we have differing opinions. And that's what this world needs, is you need different opinions. But you got to respect each other and stick around for other conversations. We all have overlapping beliefs and ideas, right? And that's it. You got to stick around, and you got to be the stronger person. You got to be the mature person to stick around and hear those things. And maybe, maybe you get a little tussle, a little argument once in a while, but that's all right. It's all love, We're all on the same team. We're all trying to make a better world for our children and the future generations. Not my kids. I ain't got no kids. But but your kids. Like, I want it to be a better world. I want freedoms, and I want people to be able to express free thought and worship how they want to worship, whatever God, Gnostic God, Satan God, Christian God, whatever, man. Joseph Smith God. That's the way the world is supposed to be, because if we screw this up, that's what the Illuminati want. They want us to screw this up so they I think it was in what was that book? In fact, I'm reading about it right now. Robert Anton Wilson's Illuminatus trilogy. In the first book, he talks about how, we tried fascism, that didn't work. We tried communism, that didn't work. And I'm butchering the quote, but the idea is that if we can't make a system work, the Illuminati's watching, and they're going to come in and force us to make it work, So anyways, take from that what you will. But yeah, that was part two. Now I got some bangers coming up. You need to stay subscribed to this show, and you need to be dropping them 5-star reviews to counter all them 1-star haters. Because I got a show about Roseanne Barr selling her soul coming out. I got a show about Miley Cyrus and the sex cult coming out. I got this insane interview with my man Jordan from Wind & Sea Coffee. Jordan brought the heat. It's a two-hour show where we dig into who John Dee was and his influence on pop culture and the occult. It's a wrap, son. That's going to be a banger. I don't know when I'm dropping it. It's got a lot of editing to do because it's 2 hours, right? I had to chop it up on two things. Whatever, right? But stay subscribed to the show. I'm bringing some heat here soon. Stay woke.